Hi, this is Peter David, and you're listening to 11 O'Clock Comics. And when I think of you, I touch myself.
Two episodes in a row for Jason.
That's amazing.
It's a new personal best.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised no vacation broke up between now and over here.
Right?
Well, it's not summertime yet.
We should have wrote something into his contract where he couldn't go on, like, a vacation every third episode.
You gotta live your life. Can't take it with you.
That's true.
But there's more important things than vacation. there's comics.
Stand on that is Dap. That, I mean, Dap never misses an episode. The guy hates vacations. He doesn't go on any unless we make him go on one. But you don't go on vacations as often as I do, but you take like your two trips a year.
That Europe thing's going to put that's 10 days.
See, that's
yeah.
Yep. Because it's foolish to go to Europe for like 4 days.
Right.
Given the expense and the time of traveling there.
For real. Hey, everybody. It's 11 O'Clock Comics, episode 915.
Hey.
And I'm Vince B.
You are Vince B. Yeah, I think if you're going through time zones, then I think, you know, it's okay to miss tonight. I'm David A. Price.
Well, thank you for that. And, of course, I am Kem Washio, but you know me as Ken the Eagle.
Ken the Eagle. Woohoo! You're not. You're Jason Wood, everybody. Back again on another Just Average Everyday Talking About Comics episode of 11 O'Clock Comics, blah, blah, blah. Brought to you by... Yes, brought to you by who?
CheapGraphicNovels.com.
That's right. CheapGraphicNovels.com. 50% off Marvel books. Craziness. Massive selection. OGNs. Omnibus editions, manga, trade paperbacks, all that stuff, drastically discounted, and the special 50% off sale. You're not going to find this stuff cheaper anywhere else. So just go there, save, and when you place an order, Max will, once you reply to that email, Max is going to reply back and say, you know what, you're going to get free shipping on your next order. It's crazy. Just because you said 11 O'Clock Comics sent you. Like, who are we? I don't know. But you'll get free shipping on your second order. It's great. CheapGraphicNovels.com.
Hell yes. Shout out to Max.
Yeah, I fucked that like a dead duck. So there you go.
You do love your ducks.
I do.
My goodness.
Hi, buddy. I am drinking some Sam Adam Boston Lager. The best.
Must have bought a case of it.
I have a case.
Clearly, you're.
I have a case of. Yeah, of the standard Boston Lager, and I bought a case of the winter, whatever they call it, winter warmer or something. Yeah.
Nice.
Delicious.
Love it. Well, my friends, I'm drinking water, so.
Yay.
Well, I do have some seltzer here after I finish this this low ball of, I mean, not that it's a full low ball, but this low ball of, you know what, just like last time, Bardstown Bourbon.
You're doing an 8-ball?
Yes.
Ah, nice. Yeah, live on air, Cinema Verite.
That's yeah.
It, baby.
Be careful.
Always.
So comics. There's a ton of them out there. Jason, you were away.
Yes.
When we talked about the Ghost Machine books.
Yeah. I was going to say, I wanted to, because of the fact that you all talked about some of these books already, I was just going to do a quick, at some point tonight, run through of the books, just like a quick, like, thumbs up, thumbs down. But
let's do it.
So, and I was going to do a couple others too that weren't necessarily the John's books, but I'll just go down the list. So Dawn Runner. Dap talked about it. I don't know if you remember. I don't forget if you read it as well, Vince, but I know Dap. But Dawn Runner was incredible. The art, especially. The art is just ridiculous. If I had any sort of little criticism, I wasn't really totally drawn into the story because it pretty much felt like Pacific Rim to me, almost like beat for beat. Meaning I was like, okay, well, this is just someone adapting Pacific Rim into a really awesome looking comic. But that's there are worse things than giant, beautifully drawn kaiju versus mech, so I'm here for it. And then, yeah, as to the – so I was very surprised at your takes on Red Coat, Vince. Like, more so, I was very surprised that it was your favorite.
By a mile, but, yeah.
Yeah, by a mile. Definitely not in that camp. I agree with you guys. I think the art is, like, certainly more towards the end of what I would have – of the style that I enjoyed when I enjoyed the work. But I just – I just think he looks ridiculous as a character. I'm just not here for it. Like, I don't know. Like, I think just maybe because I went to a school where our mascot was a goofy looking Ben Franklin Quaker. When I see like colonial outfits out of the colonial times, I'm just like, it's totally a turnoff for me. Like, it just seems silly. So I'm out on that.
You don't have a soft spot for freaky Freemasons?
No, not, at least not in that context. So out on Red Coat, but not because it's not a good book, but totally in. And I'm so disheartened that your lack of enthusiasm for this. Loved Rook Exodus number one.
I didn't dislike it. You know,
but you were very dismissive of the plot. In as much as you're saying there really wasn't one, and I'm like, dude, you give me Mobile Armored Strike Command mixed with wild animals, and it's all I need. That's perfect comics for me. Like, I'm here for it. I want to see all the helmets controlling the different animals. I'm here for it. It's a conceit. Love it.
If any of the characters has an arc where they're trying to come to terms with their blossoming sexuality, it's going to get Book of the Year for you.
It may.
You take the mask off.
That's for sure. You're on that. And I didn't read Geiger because I didn't like what came. I just didn't like Geiger as a series when it came out. So I assume this is more of the same.
Yeah, it's dark. Yeah, it's a buddy pick now. I mean,
we've talked about this before, and you guys are always baffled. I find Skull characters totally off putting. I just don't like them.
You love Taskmaster.
It's the conundrum, but he's got the face with the I don't know, it still feels different to me. I don't know to tell you, but like,
but I'm weird.
No, I know.
It's not flaming skull. It's not.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not,
the flaming skull thing just totally turns me off. I don't know why. I don't know.
Okay. Don't know. Hey, you're allowed.
Yeah, it's a totally weird thing.
Eccentricities, yeah. Mm-hmm. What else did you read?
Well, but the thing that I couldn't wait to talk to you guys about is I also did another deep dive on the vacation. And this was – I made a point. I said, all right, what am I going to bring to read? And I thought, okay, like there's all these things, these like things we talk about, like these runs. It's like, oh, I have that. I've always meant to read it, but I never read it. And I thought, I'm going to get one of those knocked out. And – I've always liked the character of Aquaman, like conceptually, you know, like I'm like, oh, I think I could be into this character, particularly because you guys know how I love the marine life. And so it's not like a ton of comics that are set that way. But it seemed like over the years, the consensus is that the Peter David run, like collectively, holistically, is one of people's favorites. And I've always had that in the back of my head, and I own a lot of it in reprints. And I thought, well, I love Peter David's, the majority of his Marvel stuff. I mean, like it's OG greatness. So, I'm gonna finally do this. I'm gonna read the Peter David Aquaman stuff, or at least a big chunk of it. And so I did. I read the Atlantis Chronicles, which is a 7-issue series, Aquaman Time and Tide, which is 4 issues, and then the up through the first 25 issues of the titular Aquaman series, which he did after those two miniseries. And you know, I put this in our Slack earlier this week, but I didn't name the book. But after reading effectively 40-ish issues of what most like would consider, at least if you sort of do a Google search or something, the best Aquaman comics ever, I don't think Aquaman's ever had a great comic. I think. Let's put Atlantis Chronicles to the side for a second. I think they're so 90s in every way and not in a good way. Like, the art is just, it really feels like much of the art did then, like Pete, like them trying to get other artists to draw like the Image founders, and they didn't do it as well. I mean, do you guys remember who was the artist in On Time and Tide without looking?
It was a Joe
Mad clone.
It was a Joe Mad clone, yes, for sure.
Yeah. I don't remember.
Kirk Jarvinen.
Who?
Kirk Jarvinen.
Yes.
With Brad Venkata on inks. Yeah, like you said, a clone of, and Kirk actually said that he patterned his line after Eric Larson. But either way, it is a clone in the worst sense of the way. I think the art was very, very rough, and the story seemed very silly, and it bounced all over the place. Didn't really care for that at all. And then the titular Aquaman first 25 issues. Like with any run, there were definitely some issues that I thought were pretty cool. I think, as Peter David is wont to do, he does a great job fleshing out the supporting characters in a book and their interactions. But I really, again, had trouble with the art, man. It was so 90s and overdone. And then the other thing is that because of where we were with it, like, and Peter David trying to put a new spin on Aquaman, it's a very, like, dark book. They're all grittier, and they all have attitudes, and they all are shitty to each other. Even Aquaman's, like, a dick. And it's like, I realized that I have comics from that era that I adored that are just the same. But, like, I was reading them then, so I wasn't sort of hyper aware of, like, how ridiculous some of the stuff was. But reading it now with no anchor to it previously, I like, it just was totally forgettable and cornpone. I mean, in the third issue of the main series, he's fighting Superboy for like no one un, like for some like totally unclear reason, and then, like, it's just, yeah, I came away thinking I don't think this character's ever had a truly great run. Now, that all being said, this endeavor was worth it because it did give me the chance to finally read the Atlantis Chronicles, which I thought was fucking awesome. That was the first thing that Peter David did, but it's drawn by Esteban Maroto.
Yeah.
And this book looks like it's from head. It's like it was serialized in heavy metal. It's got that European classic bande dessinée feel because of Maroto that's just ridiculous. And like the detail and the delicate line, and I mean, and it's an adult book. I mean, there's orgies going on. There are people naked in tons of the pages because they're like living like, you know, bacchanalian life, and it's just totally unexpected, especially for like a mainstream book at the time. And it just felt totally different. And the cool, now I put it to the side because, as you guys probably sure know, but our listeners may not, it's not really an Aquaman book. I mean, it's an Atlantis book, and it takes you through three generations of Atlantis, including from the time when it was above ground to then being sunk underwater. And you actually see like the entire journey of them learning how to survive underwater and then eventually evolving and adapting into being able to breathe in the water and that sort of thing. So it's a really deep, well thought out, fantastical, like quasi-historical journey through Atlantis from its formation to right before or right up until the point that Aquaman is born. So it's not an Aquaman story, but it is an Aquaman Atlantis, or it is an Atlantis story set the same Atlantis that we get from Aquaman. And I just thought it was awesome. Like, I thought it was an absolutely awesome 7-issue series. And, you know, if Aquaman was in it for like the final issue, then it would probably be the greatest Aquaman series that ever was out. So. So two questions, because I talked for a long time. One, have either of you read like some or all that Peter David Aquaman, and what did you think of it then? Did you remember? Did you like it? And then two, and I put this in the Slack, can you think of any characters that like are generally important in the big two, but have never in your mind actually had a great run, like a classic run where if someone said, oh, I'm into that character, what should I read? And you're like, got nothing for you.
Wow. Okay. I do have a great Aquaman run though.
Okay.
the Aquaman, Sword of Aquaman, was a freaking phenomenal run. But it doesn't really count as an Aquaman run. I mean, it, yes, it does, but it was in the time when there was a question of whether or not it is actually Aquaman. Remember, I think it was after, what was it, after Infinite Crisis? It was after one of the crises. And but it's just a phenomenal book. I read some of the Peter David Aquaman. I didn't like the art, which is why I didn't buy it. I do have the Esteban Maroto, though.
Marty, I should have said in the main, it's like Marty Eglund, Jim Calfiore, like John St. Pierre.
Yeah.
There is one issue with an early Mike Mignola, which was fun, but that's one out of 25. So go ahead, Dan.
I remember going to the newsstand buying this Horseshoe miniseries when it was coming out because I absolutely loved the look of the deep water blue camouflage outfit. I'm not saying that was a great limited series by Neil Posner with art by Craig Hamilton. That kind of, I mean, cause I knew, obviously I Aquaman from Super Friends and everything else. And of course he was kind of the leader during the Detroit era Justice League. I did check out whatever Aquaman was doing like for a while after that, and I did actually have a subscription to that Peter David written when it started, because it came with an autographed poster, which was basically just a giant size.
You love the extras. You love the extras.
Well, it came with that, because McGuire, Kevin McGuire, did the covers for the first year of that series. So the poster was signed, and it was just, I don't know what the hell possessed me to just start a subscription of all comics for that. But yeah, so there was that, and I didn't, you know, after the subscription ran out, I didn't necessarily stick with it. So, and then it got a little crazy and he lost his hand, and I was just like, I don't know what the hell's going on with the character. So yeah. It was very easy to. Aquaman is definitely a character it's easy for me to walk away from if I'm not feeling it. Similar to Hawkman, I just if it's getting a little too nuts, then I'll come back later. But I have really fond memories of Firestorm, but I don't think really we ever got a phenomenal run, and I think the closest thing might be in. Identity Crisis, and that's not necessarily a Firestorm story. That's just the story where he and Firehawk peer in, and it's just they're there. But I like the character. I like Ronnie Raymond. I like Martin Stein. I like the whole idea of that. But and the Pat Broderick art from back in the day. That's the first one that really came to mind.
It's odd that you should bring this up this week, Jason.
Oh, do tell.
Yeah. I'm going to be moving a bunch of book, a massive amount of book, and I'm reading the ones that may interest me and thinking whether or not, like deciding whether or not I should keep them, right? Mm. So I'm going through the stacks and I'm like, oh, I have all four hardcovers of this. Why have I never read it? So this past week I did exactly that. I read all of Jason Aaron and Chris Bacello's Doctor Strange.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, and it's only 20 issues and two specials or something. And prior to that, I would have said, if you asked me what's the best Doctor Strange, I would have said, well, I guess the Ditko stuff, right? Maybe the Oath. I think the Oath is great, but it's only, what, four issues, five issues?
Five.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good story, but is it the definitive take on Doctor Strange? I don't know. But this Aaron run, I think, is a landmark run. I think it's one of the ones that should be read. Like, if you have no conception of Doctor Strange or the world in which he lives, this is the perfect run. It's concise. It's hit it and quit it. They did 20 issues. And whatever, two specials, and then they just stopped. Like, I don't know if that was due to sales or creative decision on the part of the people making the stories, but I think it's an easily manageable run that's just amazing on all levels. It introduces you to not only Doctor Strange and what he does, but the mechanics behind what he does. His Sanctum Sanctorum is a living, breathing creature within the story too. Like there are rules within the Sanctum that I don't think have ever been explored before. It not only does all that, but it takes a very keen-eyed view on magic in the Marvel Universe and where it comes from and what happens to it when you don't do the proper things. Like, one of the constant themes in the book is there's a price to be paid. You can't just fling magic around willy-nilly and expect, to be able to do it tomorrow and the day after that. And you know what I mean? The fact that Wong has a group of monks that just take hits for Doctor Strange, that's incredible to me. Mm-hmm. That there's a group of characters that, because of Strange laissez-faire attitude towards magic, he's not paying the price. These individuals are in fact paying the price and dying because of his lack of attention to the way magic works. I mean, horndog that I am, I think Bocello's Scarlet Witch, magic, and his Satana are worth the price of admission alone.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, Zelma's a great character. And the way that Aaron paints the Marvel Universe, like, magic is everywhere, but the normies can't see it. Like, there are parasites chewing on you. They may be benign, they may be malevolent, you don't know. But it seems like everyone in the Marvel Universe has something attached to them. And I thought that was great. Like, that's amazing. And the art's just, it's Bocello, so it's like next level. Like, there are some things that he does in this book, not only within the panels, but without. Like, there are interconnecting branches that just stream through panels and his crazy askew layouts that he does. The book is just absolutely perfect. And the decision to bring Kevin Nolan in for some of the framing sequences, like, it's just absolutely perfect because Nolan, Sorcerer Supreme, right? I mean, there's ties to the past. I was like, how did I wait this long to read these books?
I don't know.
The Bar with No Name? Shut up. That's just perfect, right?
Mm-hmm.
A place hidden, sequestered away from normal eyes that all the magic users gather and just throw back and have fun. And Wanda gets to, dig at Steven relentlessly. Like, it's just great. It's a phenomenal book. So that would be my vote for what is the best Doctor Strange run? I would give it to Aaron and Bocello.
Nice. Well, that's the biggest respect.
Yeah.
And I don't really think I disagree. I mean, I love that run. I'm just trying to think. Like, I mean, I have a very nostalgic love for the Strange Tales. I can't, having not reread it since then, I can't tell you if it stands up to the test of time. I just,
right.
I just remember loving it when I was a kid, but I don't remember if it's really well done or not.
Well, Ditko invented the engine for Doctor Strange, and everybody since has been driving the car, right? It's what they do with the engine that matters. And I've read a shit ton of Doctor Strange. Like, there was a point where I would buy everything Doctor Strange. It's only been maybe 10 or so years that I haven't been. I mean, we even read the Doctor Strange in Space. Like, I'll read Doctor Strange. He's one of my favorite Marvel characters, but, If I was hard pressed to give you like three excellent runs, I don't know. I would probably stumble after the Aaron and Bocello. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, I love the Bruner stuff is great, right? Yeah. But I mean, that was that, and that wasn't very cohesive. Those were just stories, you know. I even read Secret Defenders. Like, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
Hashtag facts. Yeah. But I had a lot of fun with it. Bocello can come to my house and punch all my kids in the face, I'd be like, oh, can I get your beer? I love the dude. I love him.
He's good at what he does.
Yeah. And he's great with everything. Just some of the spreads with the black and white line art mixed in with the color parasites, like, it's phenomenal. Yeah. I don't think that's been collected in an omnibus edition, has it? I mean, I don't need it, but I was just wondering.
It was omnibus for the Jason Aaron Doctor Strange. Yeah.
Nice. Well, I have the 4 slimline hardcovers. I'm very happy with those. I love the tactile paper that they use for the covers. I think it's really neat. I wish they would go back to that.
I have the singles thanks to our pal Scott Anderson.
Nice. Great stuff.
Yes.
What else do we have?
We want to talk about Transformers?
No one's going to talk about it, really. It cracks me up. He's always like, he's itemizing what he thinks he's going to decide.
Yes, because I want to make sure, you know, it works with the time we have.
I think we should
talk about Transformers.
The Devastator battle in issue 6 was ridiculous. It was absolutely ridiculous. Him just batting Optimus around like a rag doll was stupid. It was stupid.
Yeah. I couldn't bring myself to entertain bidding on any of those or trying to get any of those pages from the drop the other week, but they were tempting.
And then Optimus on the table was so Transformers the movie. Like, I was like, you motherfucker, you are not doing this. You can't be doing this. And he didn't. But that one or two pages, that feels like Transformers the movie to me.
I can see that, yeah.
Did you get out those vibes from that? Like, it's crazy. And as you said, we had concerns, not great concerns, but we were concerned about the handoff art-wise to Jorge
Corona.
Yeah, Corona. And man, this new issue, number 7, looks great.
It looks phenomenal, man. Yeah. I'm not surprised because I mean, we know from his work with Scotty that he's a very talented, but you know, it is, you know, D-Dub's hard act to follow, especially when I would say he is the draw for the book, right? It was written and drawn, and that was his. So the handoff, but I don't think it could have been more seamless. Corona's got a different style, but it's still enough left of center of what you would normally think of in a Transformers book that I just think it's a wonderful follow on. So, I've the utmost excitement now for the second arc because of it.
Absolutely. Visually, it's not DWJ, but he still does some fantastic work. And I think it was a good call by having the 7th issue start with an attack on Cybertron, so we get to see him really just kind of go buck wild in this environment with these machines. And then
poor Huffer
bringing it back to, yeah, seriously.
Jesus Christ. Fuck, man. It's like he exploded from within. Like, what the frig? Yeah. But
put some goddamn respect on my boy Shockwave's name, though. Huh? I mean, Soundwave's name. Huh?
Sound, yeah. Yes. But for me, it's like Cup starts off the book. Like,
yeah,
the old soldier. Come on. What else? I'm sorry, Deb.
No, of course, anybody who watched the cartoon back in the day, I mean, just speaking for myself, I came close to praying every day when I got home from school that this was the episode that Starscream was going to be put in this fucking place. And thank you. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, Jorge. Issue 7 gives me hope. It's still a hell of a violent book. Obviously, Carly's got some issues to work out. And Spike does as well. Things move pretty quickly between the past couple of issues to get us here. But these are definitely hardened soldiers on a mission. There doesn't seem to be really any sort of negotiating coming anybody's way anytime soon. I don't
think there should be.
It's us versus them, and that's it. It's pretty much and Earth versus robots. But yeah, I and even actually when I popped open the issue, it felt especially the colors on Cybertron. It reminded me of those the coloring on those early Marvel Transformers issues, and it's just I don't know what it is. It's not going to obviously feel the same because of the paper, but just something about the colors, just really the brightness of some of those older, whether it was even Web of Spider-Man, there was just some issues from time to time from Marvel that would just seem to be a little brighter than other comics. Don't know why, but this was. Yeah, I think they did a great job in enlisting Jorge to continue the title while Daniel continues to write it. During this first year, I think it's going to it's going to continue to look great. But the story is it has its hooks in me. I got to see where we're going with this.
So, who's your guess as to whom the stripped bot is in the framing in the prequels or the first sequence, the war sequence? I have a guess. I see blue, and judging by the fact that he was mentioned later in the issue, I'm guessing that's Ultra Magnus.
Yeah,
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that is a good one.
That would suck if it's Ultra Magnus and he's like done. Maybe there's a spark still.
Because because you look at his waist
and he's like, big. He's big. Ultra Magnus is big.
Telling the story. Yeah, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very similar to what the remnants kind of look like.
I was a bit. I don't want to give anything away, but the Matrix of Leadership in issue 6, that was a bit weird. Don't you think?
I don't know. Wait, weird. What, like,
I don't recall it being used in that manner before.
Oh yeah. Well,
okay.
I didn't feel like I was savvy enough in the totality of Transformers lore to not.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, maybe. Who knows? It probably has, and I just am blanking on it. But I don't remember ever that happening. And in order to achieve the end of the purpose, you know, that the character had intended. I'd never seen that. But it's really cool. Yeah. You kicked my Ravage.
Yeah. Yep.
You fucker.
I'm right there with you, Soundwave.
So good. Yeah, it's dude, nuts.
It was just so nice to see Soundwave just take center stage, man, and just whoop that ass. It was awesome.
Yeah, but it's like, it raises the question, like, how long we got to wait for Soundwave? You know, because Soundwave's a player. And if you're talking potency, yeah. Did I say Soundwave? Shockwave.
Yeah, you mentioned.
Yeah, Shockwave. Soundwave is very difficult to deal with, but Shockwave, like he's a mastermind. So I'm just wondering when the whole Shockwave Soundwave thing is going to go down, the wave war.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. If I had to rank the revival books at Image, Transformers is definitely the best out of all of them. I mean, there are great. They're all very, very good books, and you know, we love Duke. We like the things that we've read, but I think Transformers is the top of the stack. Would you agree?
I'm trying to think. I mean, yeah, I. Yeah, I guess I would. I mean, yeah, I'm going through, yeah. I mean, Void Rivals is badass.
Sure, but it's not as good as Transformers. Yeah,
no, agreed. We haven't really gotten. We have yet to get to the G.I. Joe. It's going to happen. But we haven't gotten it. Yeah.
Oh, you see? Yeah, no, I'm sure you've seen the new previews, right?
Yes. The
Destro continue. And Scarlet.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think it's the best of the bunch. Sure. Yeah.
It's phenomenal. I bet you.
I fell for a. Oh, sorry. I was going to say, you reminded me bringing this up that I am embarrassed to say I fell for an April Fool's Transformers related thing this year. I was surfing on the interwebs in our hotel in Germany in the evening, and I'm like scrolling through the Insta or I don't know Facebook, whatever it was, and I see a post in one of the Transformers collectors groups, toy groups, and it's like, oh, the new announcements, they're going to do a Jetfire, you know, a classic Jetfire, you know, Gundam style, you know, they're bringing that back. And I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, this is the Jetfire. I keep waiting for them to make it. They're never going to make it because of IP. And I was like, this is phenomenal. I'm ordering this right now. And it was a fucking April Fool's joke. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. I don't like to correct you, but I know what you meant when you said it, but you meant Valkyrie, not Gundam.
Valkyrie. Yeah. Sorry,
yeah.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Cause we don't want to piss off Jay.
No, fair enough. But you know, that's far and away my favorite, favorite Transformers figure ever. Like I just love that.
How many years till you're 50?
This year, buddy.
Hmm. See, I'm in a weird space because I have 3 Jetfires.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, not all of them are complete. I have one that's 100% complete, then I have one that's like 90%, and one I have just a body. And
it's weird because the I mean, I do have a bunch of Transformers, but the only two I really would love to have like the most are that Jetfire and which is weird because I'm, you know, an anti-gun person, but I'm bummed that I don't have a Megatron in gun form,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
make it anymore. And yeah, I'd love to have those two. Like
we'll see what
it's happens. Still shocking to me that like they won't like that they still. Because everybody does everything for a dollar now. Haven't done some kind of collector's third-party release of Megatron as a gun, but I guess it's never going to happen.
That figure's the Bucky of the Transformers universe.
Yeah.
It's so nice, too. It's so beautiful. And all the snap-on pieces, oh, it's amazing. And it's heavy as hell. Yeah, maybe someday I'll get one. Yeah, I was so happy. It's amazing how a comic book can just change your mood and make you happy. After I was done reading this, I'm like, damn, that was so good. And David said, it's not Daniel Warren Johnson, but it's almost as good as if Daniel was drawing it. Like, Corona's a force, man. And I can only imagine what these pages are going to, probably a grip for the pages. And like, yeah, it's not happening.
I wasn't sure if you get Felix's emails, Vince, but just saw the yeah. So did you put it on any of those pages from Berserker?
Yeah, no. Are you kidding me? No, it would be. I mean, that's another thing I'm selling too. I'm selling my OA because the only ones I'm really not selling are the ones that mean like the most to me, like the Josh Bayer stuff. Like I must have. At least 10 Bayer original pieces and like the Matthew Allison stuff. I'll never, ever get rid of those. Mm-hmm. And someday I'll frame them, right? But I have many pages. Like I have a page from Bill and Ted, from Evan Dorkin. Just weird. I have
a page from Lowe, right?
Yes. Oh, there's other things like Prison Pit, never leaving my hands. Because not only do I love it, because a person I love gave it to me. You know what I mean? I just have a ton of stuff that, what am I going to do with it? You know? I have a Ron Lim from New Humans or X-Mutants? It's one of those books. Like, what am I going to do with that? You know? It's just so strange. So strange. I'm thinking of signing up to CAF just to move the pages.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, I mean that's the biggest audience, right?
Yeah, and you can join it for free if you don't have to pay.
Right. Yeah, and I can put up the pages and then you put a value on them and anybody that wants them can hit you up through them.
Exactly.
And is it like Heritage? Does CAF take a percentage of the sale?
Oh, no. No, it's just
private
transactions.
That's neat.
Yep.
Yeah. So if you get any emails or DMs through CAF of people asking about my credibility, yeah, just be honest.
Yeah, for sure.
What else do we have? Got to be reading more comics. Let's check the list. See if there's anything that we all read. Hoping.
Well, you guys, I cannot fathom why neither of you have read Batman Dylan Dog number 2.
Oh, yet. I did.
Because
I did.
It just came
it's
out.
It's on my list. It's on my list.
It just came out Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I read it yesterday.
Oh, my God.
It's been nearly a week since it came out, Vince.
No way. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. In magical podcast time. But no, I didn't read it. But you can talk about it.
No, I'll say, listen, it's phenomenal, but...
Oh, I know why Jason doesn't like it.
But they did me wrong. I was so in love with the first issue. I'm like, oh, yes. I mean, seriously, this is a lot. And then done and decided to make the second issue all about Jason Blood and the Demetric. I was like, oh, son. So,
perfection.
Wait, the demon's in it?
Yes.
Oh my
yes.
God. He's like the star of it. He's in it more than Batman or Dylan Dog are.
Yep.
Come on already. So I need to take some Viagra for the third issue and hope it picks back up.
Harsh.
Well, I'm about 25 pages in and I see no demon yet.
Yeah, it's the back half.
Well, he's in there for like 1,000 pages. So,
well, it seems like 1,000 pages to Jason, but yeah. It's
omnibus. Whatever it felt like we were in an omnibus. Or was on the same.
Oh wait, is that Constantine? Yeah, Constantine's in it too.
Yeah, Constantine's in it. Which I had no problem with.
That's the.
Look at that demon. That page is great.
It's a sick looking.
Well, I guess we have our featured image.
Booyah!
That's beautiful.
It really is. Yeah, I wouldn't mind a demon series by these folks.
Yeah, you'll have to let me know how that it goes.
Absolutely. You'll hear all about it on the old classic.
Wow, this better be a hardcover. That's all I can say.
Seriously, yeah.
Yeah, you cannot have art of this caliber in just trade paperback.
I agree.
Yeah. And I think I need to be a little more discerning in my joy, because when the first issue came out, and I'm like, oh, man, Wirth of Diladera, he's phenomenal. I'm thinking a lot of the heavy lifting on this book is G.G. Cavanaugho. And I was alerted about that through the Slack. And because if you, as I said, if you put Something's Killing the Children art next, like side by side with this art, you can see the similarities, but a lot of the line, the quality of the line is not Werther. So I'm guessing it's G.G. Cavanaugho. I don't know. I can't say for sure, but there's a definite discrepancy between this art and Something Is Killing the Children. I think this art is a couple ticks better.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And Gigi did this cover too. So it's like, wow, look at that cover. Yes. It's just
she
amazing.
She was the artist in Magic Order Volume 3.
This is true. Yes. Yeah, I want an oversized hardcover with this. Foil embossing, die-cut covers, everything. French end flaps. Even on a hardcover, fuck it. Give me everything.
Yeah, hardcover?
Yeah, with French end flaps. Yeah, lenticular thing. Yeah, all of it. Yeah, it's just beautiful. The color art is just absolutely astounding on this, too. Giovanna Nero. Just beautiful color work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We like to say this from time to time when something really strikes our fancy, but I don't see, if we consider this a miniseries, and it is, right? I don't see I don't see any miniseries eclipsing this. Even though, but it's a reprint, right? Because this came out previously elsewhere.
I mean, it is technically a reprint, yes, because it was originally published a few years ago in Italy, but I mean...
So this will definitely...
I think it would count for best miniseries, though, because it was first released in English in this form this year, so...
Yeah. Well, whatever the case, this is getting some kind of an award for me.
Well, for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just too damn good.
I mean, we've got the non-manga import category.
Yeah, true. Yeah, but I think I would rather put it in reprint.
Yes, than I that. Agree. I would too. That's probably where it's going for me.
There you go.
Stunning, absolutely stunning stuff. Yep. And it's a Batman book. Like, who would have thought?
I know, crazy.
Well, it's crazy that you're enjoying a Batman book. That's
what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else, boys? Jason, pull something else off that massive stack.
Massive stack, he says.
Feels like Riley and Jonesy when he says boys.
Yeah, it's boys. True. That's true. let me think. Well, you know what? Have you guys had a chance to read Eden yet?
No. No, because I was waiting. I know that we got the sneak peek, thanks to our boy Mark. But I was waiting to actually get it in my hands, and I do have it. I need to sit down with it.
Okay, I'll play the fool. Yeah. What's Eden?
The graphic novel from Humanoids that Mark Laming drew.
Oh, okay. No, Sabella I didn't get it yet.
On it. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it looks
so.
Yeah, phenomenal.
Yeah, no, it was really it was excellent. It's adapted from a story by Alain Bismuth and Abel Ferry, but the graphic novel is written by Chris Sabella, and as Dap already said, the art is by a good friend of the show, Mark Laming. This is definitely my favorite thing Mark's ever done.
Oh, nice.
We've always been fans of his work, which is how we got to know him at an early New York Comic Con, because we said some things about his work, and fortunately we didn't frag his work, and then we started the friendship that way. But just to see him in this element with this character driven long form story that he's getting a chance to tell, I mean, set in a science fiction setting. I just thought it was amazing. I really did think it. You could just see Mark really put his heart and soul. And we knew he did, because every year we see him at a con and he'll be like, oh, I'm working on this book. And, you know, I think it took him probably 2 years to draw? A big chunk of the last 2 years, I know, for sure.
Yeah.
But it's a really well-done story, and it's a very simple story. There is a trio of a family of Gabe, the husband, Sarah, the wife, and Teresa, their daughter. And they live in a future Earth that is, you know, fairly dystopian. And they basically break into places to find what they need to survive, which is not an uncommon trope. But their neighbors, who also happen to be a father, a husband, wife, and a daughter, win a lottery ticket to go on a ship to go to Eden. And Eden is this other planet that was colonized. And it's basically a paradise. It's a socialist paradise. There's no crime. There's no illness. There's no bureaucratic hierarchy of wealth. Everybody's equal. Everyone has the same wealth. It's all, you know, and so you have to either be wealthy enough to afford a ticket to Eden, or you can win these lotteries. So our protagonists, quote unquote, they win. They gaffle their neighbors and take their place on the ship and to get to Eden. But things quickly go very awry, and much in the same vein of Alien, when there's a big corporation behind these things, there's usually motivations that aren't as altruistic as they seem, and things go quickly awry on this journey to quote unquote Eden. And it's just, I think, really well done sci-fi. I think a poignant look at how we would probably be treating one another in a future where we were so resource constrained. And yeah, I'm here for it. And it's the first volume of multiple, I think, based on the way it ended. So.
Oh, nice.
And I did ping Mark and tell him that I thought it was top-notch work. So
awesome.
I think it may be the most intricate thing that Laming has worked on.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Yeah, it looks beautiful. I actually fucked up my mute because you could probably hear me typing when you were doing all that.
So oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. I thought the mute was on, and it was not. So that's on me. I'm not that rude.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I love you.
I know. Somebody has to.
Yep.
Yeah. What else do we... Let's check the clock first, because, you know, tight and right, boys.
Really does need to watch Letterkenny, Dan.
It does, man.
I've never seen Letterkenny.
Hey, boys.
You should. Letterkenny. I mean, it's... Well, actually, no. It.
Vince is a fan of the Schneef.
I mean, considering... You were thinking that Rick and Morty was a little Fast and Furious. Letterkenny is similar with how quickly they throw the barbs back and forth, but it is so well done, so well written, so clever. Ridiculous. Yeah,
it's all time great wordplay. The Panther is just absurd.
Characters are great. The women are fucking fine. So everyone would enjoy it.
Well, all but one of the women is drop dead gorgeous.
Why you got to do that?
Oh, she's not. She's not supposed to be good looking.
I know, she's not. Still love her, but yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I wish I was in on the joke. I don't know what you're...
Well, that's why you got to watch Letterkenny, bro.
That's how I feel when you guys talk about Rick and Morty.
I'm thinking like, my...
Yes, this is great. It's great, yes.
It is great.
I'm good, thinking, man. My brain is conditioned now, thanks to Rick and Morty, to the higher-paced stuff. Good. Yeah.
Then yes, then check out Letterkenny on Hulu.
So what's this? What's the deal with this three-body, what's it called?
Three-body problem?
Yeah.
On Netflix?
Should I be watching this?
I haven't started yet. Depends on who you talk to. Some people, there's one reviewer, not somebody I know personally, but he enjoyed it for what it was. I do know that from what I understand, they strayed quite a bit from the source material. And there may be some plot holes in the live action version of the story, but yeah, I haven't checked it out yet.
It looks good. I mean, from the trailer, I thought it looked pretty slick. Yeah.
I mean, it's gotten phenomenal reviews overall.
Okay.
So I haven't seen it yet. It is definitely on the to watch list though, for sure.
Nice. Excellent. All right, everybody. Hey, if you remember, this has been sponsored by CheapGraphicNovels.com. CheapGraphicNovels.com are going to get you all the stuff you want at a fraction of what everybody else is paying. You can be elite through CheapGraphicNovels.com. Omnibus editions, manga, trade paperbacks, OGNs, all that stuff, far less than retail prices. And I'm going to keep hammering on you guys to check this out. 50% off select Marvel trades and hardcovers. Crazy. And while you're at it, check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/11oclockcomics. We have a whole bunch of stuff going on there. We would love for you to check it out. And better yet, join the damn family. Patreon.com/11oclockcomics. I'm almost certain that it was D-Dubs that frequently posts his hauls, his book hauls, and among them, I noticed that he gets the Illustrators Quarterly magazine. I could be wrong, but I don't think. And I've always fetished these Illustrators magazines, but I had concerns with, because they're not cheap. I had concerns with the quality. Like, if I'm going to spend $30 for a magazine, I want a certain amount of quality from it, right? I want good paper. I want square bound. I want great reproduction, with the art, featured. And, I just was lucky enough that during my weekly trip to the local shop, Dave had a, Illustrators Quarterly special issue, which are even more than the magazines, for $15. So I jumped on it. This one is a double special. The Art of Sidney Jordan and The Art of Jim Holdaway. And man, if every issue of Illustrators Quarterly is formatted and published like this, holy crap, I got to get on this bandwagon. Because this thing, this book is gorgeous. It is absolutely loaded, loaded with reproductions from both artists, original pages, published pieces, behind the scenes photos, archival stuff. Like, it's crazy. I liken it to the Tomorrow's approach, but this would be the Black Tie Tomorrow's approach, right? The same breadth of coverage and the depth of information within, but the publication standards are just absolutely beautiful, pristine stuff. So obviously I haven't read it yet, but Sidney Jordan, you know, from Jeff Hawke, right? Great strip. Modesty Blaze is in here. I mean, these are great illustrators. There's not guys like this out there anymore, right? Jason will disagree with me, but I really don't care. And so if you are a process junkie and you love great illustrators, like, one thing I did order from them, they have another spotlight on the Warren artists. That's a massive, like, 400-page hardcover. I didn't get it yet, which is why I can't compare the quality with anything else. So this issue is the only thing I have. And, man, these books are just beautiful. Illustrators Quarterly. Check them out. It's a British publication. It's published by The Book Palace Limited. Yeah, The Book Palace Limited. Illustrators Quarterly Magazine. Just phenomenal standards on these books. Great stuff.
Nice.
Yeah.
Process.
I love the process.
Gotta love the process.
And I love the vintage artists. Like, oh, man, they just approached it from a level that few do anymore.
It's true.
They could draw anything. They could draw anything. I'm sorry. I mean, these guys could draw anything.
True.
And draw it well. Yeah. So.
Oh, man. And your travels. I caught up on, I read issues 4 and 5 of Beneath the Trees, Where Nobody Sees, and the fourth issue was kind of a oh shit moment, and the fifth issue kind of just builds on that, because our main character Sam, she does find out who the murderer of Woodbridge is, and she actually comes face to face with this individual, and things do not go well between the two of them. The fifth issue, though, is where things kind of escalate from there. Because the murderer is now not the other murderer isn't really. I'm so tempted to say isn't playing fair, but it's there are characters you may want to root for, obviously, but it's like, you know, it's like rooting for Tony Soprano or Avon Barksdale. It's like these aren't nice people. So the story, though, is where I'm really just loving it. It's a the latest issue, Sam is kind of coming to terms with things, and I'll leave that where it is. I wasn't happy when I got to the end of the fifth issue, when I saw that to be continued, because I need to know where the hell we're going, and well, I know what she has planned, but I need to see things play out. So so yeah, I can't wait to get my hands on that sixth issue in a few weeks. But yeah, if you haven't, and I don't, is this a 6 or 7 issue? I don't know. I think it's a limited series, but I don't know if it ends with 6 or if we might have another couple of issues after this. But I definitely recommend it. If you can find the earlier issues, if you haven't started it yet, by all means, get on it. Otherwise, hopefully IDW will still be around to do a collection, and you can definitely get it then. But yeah, in your travels, beneath the trees where nobody sees.
That hit me right.
It was a dick move. I'm sorry, but it's just...
Oh my gosh.
It's just the way I feel.
Napri and the Harsh over here, the harsh reality of the comics publishing world. Shit. You ain't wrong, though.
Maybe Image will put it out, but yeah.
In previews now, it's like, it's basically like a classified ad. It's like...
Really? Put them on fucking milk cartons.
For sure. I'm going to keep it short and sweet. It's a book we've given lots of love to already. That's why we don't have to go too deep into it. But In Your Travels, definitely I hope y'all are keeping on with Birds of Prey. Kelly Thompson. Yes. I read issues 7 and 8, which are the first two issues in the second arc. And it's a big change. Artistically, we moved to Javier Pena, who is a much more realistic, sort of in the Michael Turner camp, kind of like very, very everyone looks like models type of a vibe. But I think it's good for this arc. I certainly, you know, I can't say that I like the art from Pena as much as I was in love with Romero's art. Romero. But nevertheless, I think it's perfectly fine. And Kelly keeps bringing the right mix of action and fun. I mean, the arc they're embarking on has serious gravity to it, and with the consequences of it play. But they have a blast with each other, and you know, they give each other shit because they're all friends. And we did a nice little swap that because the premise here is that there's a much bigger group of birds of prey that can basically go on the arcs as needed. And this time we swap in Vixen and Oracle, which is great. I think in place of Zealot and Harley Quinn, at least to this point in the arc. And I just think the book continues to be one of my faves at DC.
Yes, indeed.
Well, there you go. Hey, everybody. We love you so much. We think about you all the time. And we hope you come back next time, because that's how much we love you. So in the meantime, just go to your comic shop and buy a whole mess of stuff, including the stuff we talked about this episode. Check out cheapgraphicnovels.com if you want even more, and then come back next time and talk about all of this stuff with us. We have social media. You can interact with us there. Reddit, Facebook, all that stuff. We're on there. So
leave some nice comments on Reddit.
Insta, all that stuff. So if you want to interact, the best way to do is through the Slack, and you know how to do that. So we love you so much. Say goodnight. We do. Alright. That was an extended delight. And it still keeps going. Alright. David.
Damn. Goodnight. David.
That was a whole...
Oh, when you ended the night.
Oh, I didn't even get to do my bit. David, come out and play. Get out of here. Oh, check out the Arrow special edition of the Warriors. It's awesome. Out of here. Tell them you love them, and you love them. You do. Just tell them.
Just yes. Absolutely.
Unequivocally, 100%. Yes.
Yes. For sure.
Oh, and shout out to our boy, Cameron. I got the Clusterfuck Comics tribute to Adult Swim. I can't wait to rip it open.
Nice. You know somebody who's in there.
I better.
That's it for that one.